It's just the people that are like, I'm desperate for Jesus to fix me and heal me. I'm ready.
Yeah.
And when you get around that hunger and you're surrounded by hungry people, you just get your belief in what God can do.
You're getting meat.
You're getting meat. And now they're sharing their testimonies.
Yeah.
About their struggles, and you're like, well, if God did it for them, he can certainly do it for me. And now you start seeing the power of the testimony.
Yeah.
And now you start, oh, this is what freedom starts to feel like.
Welcome to Beyond the Outpost, everybody. I'm CJ, and this is Jordan. And today, we are going to talk about testimonies. You know, last week we had spoken about what a testimony is, and this week we are going to give you an example of what a testimony looks like, what it sounds like, and how Jesus is in the middle of it with our buddy here, Jordan.
Yes. So I'm going to start this one off. You're going to interview me. We're going to do a little fun. I've never actually done it like this. When you sent this outline over, I'm excited about it. So I'm sure there'll be some stuff comes out.
We were just picking at each other's brains this week, tossing out outlines, just sort of like a way of where we wanted to go with this thing. I'm going to do my best not to necessarily read off the paper as much as just like having an idea of where we want to go. I do want it to be organic in the sense like this is what it would sound like if we were sitting at a coffee shop with somebody and just happened to start talking about God. Like, what would it sound like?
I guess that's kind of the goal of all this is, one, so you get freedom. Once you start understanding your story and start seeing where you took the bait, where you took a bite out of the apple.
Yeah, right.
And then how do you bring Jesus up in just everyday? I can do it in any conversation.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
And I noticed it last year, really. It was actually with Lindsay. We were at the store. And it's just been normal to me my whole life. My grandfather was the same way. People just came up to him and would talk to him. He'd be like at the mill, you know, getting feed, and just some random guy would just talk, and he would just talk and talk about Jesus. And I have the same things happen to me. And when Lindsay pointed out, she goes, people just randomly come up to you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, they really do. And she's like, the way that you are inviting to them and then put Jesus out there in the story that you're sharing. Like, that's why they come to you. God brings them to you. So it's kind of helped me with my testimony to pull pieces of it at the right time.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm talking to a little kid or a teenage boy, there you go, 17, 18, 19, I pretty much know in about 3 minutes what you're struggling with versus a 65-year-old guy.
Yeah.
Or a single mom of four. Like, it's just a different conversation. So
I had this really short old lady stop me in the Giant the other day as I was looking at seasoning. And I was like, all right, what are we going to talk about here? Because I was like, this is not normal for me, especially when like older, small, like they usually avoid me in most senses. But she came walking right up and she goes, man, this seasoning's so expensive these days. I'm like, huh?
Well, let your words be seasoned with grace.
Like, I'm not sure how to turn this one, but there you go.
Well, lady, aren't you the salt of the earth?
No, but it was awesome. It was like 6 in the morning, too. I was coming back from the gym.
Wait a minute. You're at the store at 6 a.m. getting seasoning?
I was looking for something for later that day, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Well, cool. Let's, might as well, you just run with it, and we're going to go into my story a little bit today, and hopefully... I've never actually shared my story like this. I did it when I was preaching, so it's recorded. I've done it a lot in men's groups, church groups, out and about. This is a little bit different.
Yeah. So again, the goal of this is the sense of like, here's what this may sound like. Again, it's not going to be a spin image of like what you're going to share in a testimony. Like, this would be different for you, but generally the same conversation flowing. Like, this is just tips, tricks, things that you can mimic, or you could be like, didn't like how they did that.
Yeah.
Just use it as an opportunity to go, all right, this is how I can start putting my testimony together in a sense. That's a way I can describe it to somebody else. So yeah. With that being said, Jordan.
Let's go, baby.
Yeah.
Who is Jordan Good?
Who is Jordan? Where are you from? Give us just a brief like overview. Like when was mm-hmm. God in your life? When was he a focus in your life? Or was he?
I grew up here in South Anvil, actually on this farm. My grandparents farmed this, and I just spent all my time here. So I was born and raised here, been here my whole life. I'm 39, and my grandfather was a preacher. My mom's in ministry their whole life. I just grew up around it.
Yeah.
The heydays of the 80s and 90s with the traveling worship, you know, you'd go to these worship things. John Hagee would come in, or Benny Hinn, like all the televangelists, like you would go see them.
Did they come around here?
Well, within like Reading, Philly. Okay. So yeah, just like they do, you know, people do now. I just grew up around it. Ministry, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
But didn't know Jesus. I knew of him. And I heard everybody around me talking about him. And some people would say, oh man, like, how did you grow up around it and miss it? How did you grow up around it and miss it? Like, we all, it's a personal relationship that you have to steward and cultivate and work out one-on-one.
Yeah.
I can't do it for my kids. Just like my mom and my grandparents and my dad, they couldn't do that for me. But they put me in an environment where I could hear the truth. And it was just being spoken around me.
Yeah.
And then they backed it up with prayer. And eventually, God got me. You know, he always had me, but he, like, got me in my late 30s.
So you say late 30s, though. So mm-hmm. in between from the time, like, when did you move out of your parents' house? Or when did you, like, start living on your own?
Mm-hmm.
What age was that at?
16.
So,
and I didn't move out, like, leave the house. I just got my license and just sure. let's go check out the wide open world. And my right. parents let me go, and I stayed at home. But eventually, I think I was probably 18 or 19 yeah. where I moved out.
Okay. So from the ages of, you know, newborn to 16, you were in a house that was showing you truth.
Constant worship music playing.
Worship, prayer, pray over your life.
Constant Bible verses, constant church services, right. constant just God and Jesus all the time.
So you were very familiar with what that looked
oh,
like.
Oh, yeah.
And
healthy home, healthy. Yeah. My parents had a healthy marriage. Like, yeah.
Awesome.
Pretty awesome
yeah.
childhood.
Good.
But you still have to go find Jesus on your own.
Yeah.
And that's a journey. No, regardless of how good you have it
yeah.
or how bad you have it. So somebody may have been raised in a home where it was complete dysfunction.
Yeah.
And that's a real thing. But they might find Jesus quicker than I did because of that dysfunction.
Mm.
So they might know Jesus at a young age, where I just knew about him because everything was just good.
Yeah.
So everyone's story is different, but the goal is, Jesus. Do you have a relationship with Jesus and know him, yeah. know him?
For sure. So with that being said, from 16 to 30...
Ooh.
What were those years like when you're starting to get out on your own? Were you seeking the Lord? Were you trying to build a relationship that way? Or did it start falling on the back burner of not being your focus anymore?
You know, maybe 16 to 30 is too broad of a
sure.
decade. Let's go 16 to...
Break it up how you'd like.
Let's go 16 to 20.
Okay.
16 to marriage. So I meet Lindsay. And as you know, my wife, like, you know, my wife walks with Jesus. She's the same now as she was at 16. She just has this relationship with the Lord that is unique. She knows him since a young age, where I knew of him. So we were paired up as kind of opposites in a lot of ways. And had she not come into my life at 16, because I went from this structured, Christian, beautiful, loving home to right out into the world.
Yeah.
I mean, into the wolves. Like, broken men, broken marriages, men sleeping with other men's wives, like, just all the stuff
yep.
of the world. And when you're 16 and you go from Jesus all the time, worship music all the time, out into a world where it's just like, holy cow, this is a lot. I would have, no doubt in my mind, went down some crazy roads had it not been for God bringing Lindsay into my life and her relationship with the Lord to just keep me focused on God and a healthy marriage and a healthy relationship with her. And yeah, man, I haven't thought of that in a long time. That's crazy. Because I was an adrenaline junkie from 16 to 22. Anything to get a rush.
Oh, yeah.
Care so less.
Did you guys get married at 20?
Yeah, I would have been 20. She would have been 21.
How long were you guys dating before?
Since 16, so 4 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So about that time you were starting to move on and do your own thing. You guys started dating.
I was really pursuing a career in the fire department.
Yeah.
And took a lot of job interviews. I actually got accepted to Baltimore City. And I ended up not taking the job because we had had a young daughter. And that was my first real, like, not selfish decision I've ever made. Up to that point, from 16 to, like, 22.
Kids have a way of doing that.
Funny, isn't it? I could have cared less what Lindsay was saying. Like, this is what I'm doing. And she just hung in there. And little Charlotte came along. And I'm like, yeah, I think that's a single man's career. I see where that one goes. Mm-hmm. And it just wasn't in the cards for me.
So 16 to 20, you guys are getting married. You're married now.
Yep.
And you're having your first kid at 20?
20, see, Charlotte's 16. What would that be? 22?
22. So 16 to 22.
Yes, we had a couple years we were together.
So you're
without kids.
You're starting to figure out life together at this point.
Oh, quickly.
Very quickly.
Very quickly.
But your focus right now, what is that on at this time of your life?
We had bought our first real estate property at 20, and I immediately started shifting gears into work mode. Come from a hardworking family in many areas, and that's all I knew. You grew up on a farm, you work.
Yeah.
You know, I remember coming home from school, hiding in the basement because we didn't want to unload hay. Right here in this barn, right up here on the hill, my grandpa would come up and be like, what are you guys doing? You read the note, get down here. And now looking back, like, those are such cool memories, but just work. And then at a young age, when you start having kids and man, you just start taking the bait. I just start taking the bait of deception, not from my family or Lindsay, just from the world and the world's view. And that's probably where I would say I started not walking away from the Lord. I never walked away from him, but definitely did not make it a priority or a relationship priority because I just started getting deceived and strongholds in my thinking started being built.
Gotcha.
Probably right around my early 20s.
In terms of like what God looks like in our relationship or
just what life looks like, how you do life,
yeah.
What is success, what is a purpose-driven life, and you get around a bunch of people that don't know what that is, you're going to do. It's so true, man. Surround yourself with five people. You're going to be the average of those five. That is so true. And I just didn't prioritize godly relationships. But I always knew character and morals. Like, I could look past things guys were doing, but it always overflows into you somehow.
Yeah.
Somehow. You may not be cheating on your wife, but sexual immorality is going to get you through pornography or thoughts.
Lust.
Yeah. And the Bible's very clear about an adulterer.
You've lust, thought about it in your mind.
You're no different than somebody who's taken the plunge and actually committed adultery. Well, I'm no different than any of those people.
Right.
You're no different than any of those people.
Right.
Our sins are the same. And that's a long, that's my 20s.
Yeah.
Just addicted to the stupid things that distract you.
Yeah.
Pornography, work, faking it, pretending like everything's good when inside I'm just dying.
Yeah.
Like dying on the inside. You know, when you're doing something, you're like, I don't think this is what God created me for, but you can't figure it out. That is a slow death.
Mm. Did you, at the time, did you actually have a sense of like, there's more to
100%.
Life? You did?
I've always known that since I was a kid. I've always known I was created for a purpose.
Yeah.
Problem is you start listening to the enemy and you start taking these little bites of the apple of the world and it just starts messing with your mentality.
Yeah.
So you start putting your energy into things that you don't even invite God into.
Yeah.
But his grace covers it. So you're like, well, it's working. Yeah, but there's no fruit there. Yeah. It might look good to the world, but there's no real fruit there.
Yeah.
I mean, now looking back, I can see it clearly. At the time, frustrating. And then you have little kids. We had three in diapers at the same time. We were going through a gallon of milk a day, a container of formula every 2 days, and a box of diapers every 3 days. Like, it was, that was a lot.
I bet.
That was a lot.
Yeah.
And the stress of having to provide and just not inviting God into anything.
Yeah.
It's like, man, if I could go back to like 16, 18, like, God, what do you have for me?
Yeah.
I think it would have made my 20s a lot more peaceful, and I wouldn't have been bald at 23.
Oh, geez. So in this time frame, now we're talking between like 22 to 30. What was just like the general question? What was your church life like?
So grew up in the church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday afternoon. Like, we were always at church. We had a real drug problem in our family.
Got drugged to church?
It's the corniest line ever.
I loved it. My youth pastor used it on us one day. It stuck with me ever since.
And I loved it. I love ministry. I love the body of Christ. At the time, though, I didn't love it. I just, I was okay with it. We didn't go to church for a few years, and then we started going to LCBC. So my mom and my dad were in ministry, and my mom and dad had gone through a really rough ministry hurt, which I remember it a little bit, but I didn't really know the details until recently. And they went to LCBC because they wanted a place for us kids to have an opportunity to develop.
Yeah.
And we went to LCBC for 10 years, and beautiful. We loved it. And we raised our family in that church, but it's a great place to hide. I didn't have to do nothing there. We just showed up, and it was, and it's a great church today yet. Yeah. They have a huge funnel. They bring so many people in. So we just sat there for probably 10 years and just, at least we went.
Right.
But zero.
Yeah, and there's beauty to that, right? In the sense of like, you know, the scripture calls it where some people, they'll get to a point where God literally gives them over to their desires.
Yeah.
Into their lust. Says, you know what? Have at it.
Mm.
He didn't do that to you.
No.
In the sense of like what you're talking about, where you always felt that sense of like, there's something more.
Yeah.
I can see in that moment, like there's a spirit still going, hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. There's better things coming.
Yeah.
And so I love seeing those kind of pictures of like, all right, God has not let go of me yet.
No.
And you can look in the moment, you're just like,
he never abandoned me.
No.
Even though I abandoned him.
Right.
At times.
Right.
And questioned him at times. He always was just there waiting for me to turn.
Mm.
I just didn't know that all you had to do was turn and just be like, yo, God. The situation sucks.
It's like the prodigal son situation, like real life. Like, oh, this is what the prodigal son felt like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was always in there. And Lindsay's been consistent. Mm-hmm. She's been the most consistent person in her relationship with the Lord. Now, granted, I live with her, and we've done life together for 24, 25 years.
Yeah.
But I know her daily disciplines with it. That's the thing that people don't see.
Yeah.
Now, mature Christians and mature men and women in Christ, you know how to check fruit. Yeah. You can tell when somebody's doing the work. But for me, definitely not doing the work. So she carried the team for a long time. thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God.
For sure. So at what point, as you start getting closer to your 30s, at what point
did starts you, transitioning?
Yeah, at what point did you really go like, wait, I see it. I see something better for my family.
Yeah.
And I want that.
I think what happened was through my 20s, I just became very aware of people that I was watching, trying to emulate, taking life advice from, basically not taking responsibility for my own walk with the Lord. Yeah. Just trying to borrow other people's fire. Mm. And that's okay. Like, you can borrow my fire. You can get warm by me. I'm on fire, dude. Like, you want to talk about Jesus and healing and restoration? Like, I can talk all day. And you can get warm by my fire, but eventually, go make your own.
Yeah.
Because there's people in your life that need to get warm.
Yeah.
And I had just spent a decade getting warm by other people's fires. Mm. And still talking about God and prayer, but like, man, just a lot of angry prayer. Like, God, what is going on? This is not what you created me for. And Lindsay had sort of just, I'm going to continue my walk with the Lord, and I'm going to trust that he's going to get you, Jordan.
Amen.
That was the best thing she did for me. And my mom. My mom has been like a rock in this area in my life for a long, long, long time.
Yeah.
And just allowing God to come get me because he knew how to get me. You know, like, and how is that so true today for the relationships that we have? Like, once I see God, that's what we just talked about last week. Once someone experiences the heart of Jesus, like, my job's done.
Yeah.
I don't have to drag you to church. Like,
you want
to
go.
Now you've tasted it. The Bible talks about that.
Come and see.
You got to go after it. And I think I finally got to a place in my early 30s where I had just had enough of the religion and the Christian talk and quite frankly, the liars and the fakes, the depart from me, I never knew you people. It looks good until you get close and you're like, yeah, they're blowing smoke. That ain't real.
Yeah.
That's not a relationship. Like, grace is a license to sin type people, you know? Mm. And I just had enough of it. Like, and I'd seen the things that my family had gone through in ministry, and ministry can be brutal. People can be brutal in ministry. And just the fact that they never ran, they made my family, I just always had people that leaned in more when it got tougher. So I had good examples of that. And I'm like, okay, God, if you're really who you say you are, I'm going to give you another chance. Like, I want this depth that people keep talking about, that the Bible talks about, like, and we went into life groups. So in a big church, you know, like these mega churches, that they have general teaching. And then if you want to get deep, you got to find the life groups. You got to get involved.
Yeah.
So we did it, and we went in through years of life groups, in and out of life groups. And man, I just was like not feeling it. And I said to Lindsay, I'm like, I'm done with these life groups. Like, this is not working. Nobody's talking about Jesus. We're just talking about problems. Like, and yeah, so if you ever want to run a life group, you better have a relationship with the Lord, because you can help people or you can really screw people up. But we had a Sunday. I will never forget this day. I'm like done with life groups. I pretty much was like, all right, God, it didn't work out. I'm just going to sit here in the back of this big church for the next 40, 50 years, and I'm good with it. And I'll get to heaven, but that purpose-driven life, that's for somebody else.
Hmm.
We come out of that service. You ever been to LCBC?
I have not. You've been around.
It's huge.
Yeah. You got multiple campuses and stuff. Yeah.
It's awesome. And I loved going down there. And you go in, you come out the sanctuary, and there's a big cafeteria, auditorium, seating area. And in the back is this guy that we both know. And he waves us over. It's like, to see somebody down there, you're talking, there's 1,000 people right there. And you're like, I see him. We go over. Hey, how you doing? He's talking to Lindsay. I'm just kind of standing there like, whatever. He goes, hey, I'm starting a life group. You guys want to join? I'm like, immediately, I'm like, heck no. And these people come up who we had met. And he's like, I'm not going to use names here, but these three people have played a vital role in me on my journey back to the Lord. It all started that day in LCBC in the back of the church, a real estate guy and some restaurant owners. And hey, they're going to do it too. So Lindsay's like, yeah, we'll go. I'm like, oh, here we freaking go. So we do that life group for a little while. that ends up dissolving. Just, you know, they kind of come to an end sometimes. Hey, we went through the Bible of what we're doing. Like, you guys want to continue or go start your own thing? That one ended. But it leads to a Bible study that the restaurant couple was running. Mm. And we get invited somehow. And we go in there. And God was so strategic. He knew exactly when to get me. And it's the stupidest thing ever. But he will use anything to grab your heart when you're ready. And my heart had just been so destroyed by the devil to where it was just so raw to where I was just like open and ready for Jesus to just come in there.
Yeah.
And this guy has a Wild at Heart boot camp sword hanging on his wall. I don't even know this guy. Just end up in his house. Like, what's that sword all about? He goes, oh, it's this Wild at Heart boot camp. I went to it with some friends, and man, it's so great. And a couple guys were talking about it, and I'm like, that really sounds like what I need. I don't know why. And lo and behold, I end up, through a series of events, getting to one in Colorado, and God got me, man. You know when he touches your heart, when those tears come, and you just start, like, turn, and give him access.
There's no turning back.
And there's no, and exactly, there's no turning back.
Yeah.
That is so true, CJ.
Yeah.
That's a scary thing to say when you think about it. Because, and when, and that would be it. That's what, I'm all in on this thing. Mm. Like, there's something that happens when you go from a life of quiet desperation and just faking it to like, I'm all in on this thing. And that's a crazy, I actually was just sort of crying about this the other night because I was just like, would I really lay my life down for Christ? Just been like, have a heart for these churches around. Like there's people like right now getting killed.
Yeah.
Like right now.
And here we are just.
And here we are having a podcast in a beautiful room that I had the ability to build. And it's just like, just so much blessing.
Right.
And right now, some guy in China is, his family's life is on the line so he can have an underground church.
Yeah.
And on the other night, I'm like, could I really lay my life down for Christ? And if someone came in here and drug me and my family out into my front yard and held a gun to my head, man, like I like to say 100% could do it. I don't know. And I'm not, it's just where I'm at with it.
Yeah.
But I'm not in that situation either, but I am in that situation because it's what he asks. And I'm just on this journey of like, all right, Lord, I'm all in on you, but am I all in? And here comes this scripture of, this was right around the time where I'm like, I choose this path. Came back to me yesterday, Luke 14, the cost of following Jesus. I'm like, man, it was so cool because it was the day after I was having that thought and this is working through that, that this was last night about 1 o'clock in the morning. This came up as I was reading last night. As massive crowds followed Jesus, he turned to them and said, this is Luke 14, 26. When you follow me as my disciple, you must put aside your father, your mother, your father, your mother, your wife, your sisters, your brothers. It will even seem as though you hate your own life. That right there, I actually said this 2 weeks ago. My God, I just hate my life. And I'm like, what the heck was that? Like, normally people would be like, that's the devil. That's warfare. No, it says it right here. You want to follow me as a disciple? There will be times that it will seem that you hate your own life. I'm like, holy cow. Like, I actually don't hate my life. I just was in a moment of lamenting. Hmm. And that's okay. Because I'm a disciple of Jesus. This is the price you'll pay to be considered one of my followers. Anyone who comes to me must be willing to share my cross and experience it as his own. I would venture to say that Jesus, who was fully God and fully man, as he's getting destroyed by these people, was probably like, not, I just love the 39 lashes. He's probably like, I hate my life as a man.
Yeah, this is not fun.
He was Because if I'm thinking that, he's thought that thought. Like, he experienced the same stuff that I experienced in my flesh. That's different than being, like, just pawning it off on the devil.
Yeah.
That was the devil. Or am I really living a life for Christ, and this is just part of the journey?
And, I mean, Paul talks about that as well. It's like saying, like, I'm fighting this battle in my flesh, where my flesh wants this, but my spirit wants this, and it's just constant. And it's like you get to that point where you start realizing. It's like, wait, like, this battle, this tension that's happening between just the fact that we are fallen creatures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there's a lot of times we like to blame things on the enemy, but it might just be the bad choices we make.
Most times, you're just dumb.
Yeah.
You didn't get your oil changed for 12,000 miles and your car broke down? Not warfare. That's just stupidity.
Making bad choices.
I want to finish this scripture here and see if it's... So anyone who comes to me must be willing to share my cross. So the sufferings and stuff that we face, it's not all warfare. Some of it's part of the journey.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we got to go through what Christ went through to experience the resurrection life that Christ experienced. Like, I'm willing to go through that journey and experience it as his own, or he cannot be considered my disciple. So don't follow me without considering what it will cost you. Boy, like, how many people accept Jesus, and then their story is probably similar to mine. I accepted Christ at a very young age. The fear of the Lord came in at a very young age.
Yep.
He never left me because the Holy Spirit was in me, so I always had it.
Yep.
But being a follower and a disciple, that's a lot different than being a churchgoer, warm church pew warmer on Sunday. And I only think you get to that place through a process. So I would say everything that the stuff that I've gone down, the roads I've gone down, like I didn't struggle with marijuana. I enjoyed it.
Like, right.
It wasn't a struggle. It was like, this is
just fun.
Fun. Like,
sin usually is for a little bit.
Yes. For a little bit.
For a little bit.
But I wouldn't say I was addicted to it.
Yeah.
But you can tell when you start turning to things before you turn to God.
Right.
It could be anything. It could be your phone.
Yeah.
It's probably your phone.
A lot of people want to
phone. Like, take your phone out right now and look at your screen time. If it's, I could take mine. Maybe it's like 3 hours a day, 40 minutes on YouTube, an hour on Facebook, whatever it is. It tells you exactly where you spend your time. Look at your Bible app. I'll bet you it's minutes, if anything.
If anything.
But you got an hour and a half on social media. I'll let the Holy Spirit convict you when you're looking at your phone right now, laying in your bed. But yeah, go ahead. That's kind of a... where I decided to become a disciple and take that journey. And that's a whole different.
So, yeah, great. And so boot camp was a big turning point in your life where you just said, like,
big time.
All right, God's now grabbed me.
Yeah.
He reached out and there was no turning back at this point. So from that point on, though, it's just been a cakewalk, right?
Oh, man, it's been so beautiful and easy. No, that's pretty much when I picked up my cross.
Yeah.
Okay, I got to carry this thing. Somebody else has been carrying it. My mom's been carrying it. Lindsay's been carrying it.
Mm.
Friends have been carrying it, praying for me, interceding for me, hoping that God would get me.
Wow.
They've been carrying my cross. The problem is some people get so used to carrying other people's crosses that they really don't want to give it back to them.
Mm.
Like, there will be a time with relationships where you will be, I think it's Galatians 5 or Galatians 6 talks about bearing one another's burdens. We're to bear one another's burdens. For a little bit.
Right.
So let's say you're struggling with, I don't know, say you're struggling with alcoholism. Like, okay, I have compassion and I want to, how can I help you? So we meet and I start giving you scripture and speaking truth and helping you. And we're 6 months in and you haven't changed a bit. Like, I'm going to give you your cross back because now your problems are becoming my problems and affecting my ministry, which is my family.
Yeah.
You can have your problems back. You need to go work that out with the Lord. So you've got to be able to learn when to not carry someone's cross, because a guy like you who has a heart for people, you're going to carry a lot of people's crosses.
Yeah.
You'll pick up their burdens in your men's group, in your church, as you start moving forward in ministry and that God's opening up doors for you. Okay. I'm a big guy, but I'm not that big.
Right.
So yeah, I basically just was like, oh, it's my job to bear this cross.
Yeah.
Because, go ahead.
So I've had that conversation with my wife recently just because she does have a lot of friends who are going through things and just being able to like help out and just encourage. And try to speak some truth into their lives and have some grace in their lives and things like that. But it's very easy for her to just feel the weight of what they're going through and have this empathy where it feels like it's starting to weigh her down. And I remember telling her, it's like, these aren't your problems.
Right.
Like, I get the idea is what you're saying is what Galatians says about we are supposed to help burden. But if things continue, like there's a point where Paul talks about turning people over to it.
Yeah.
Letting them go so that their spirit is saved.
Yeah.
God's going to use these situations to teach them something.
Mm-hmm.
And if you carry that cross for them, they're never going to learn the lesson.
Actually pride, I think. Mm-hmm. It's pride on our part to carry other people's.
Wanting to fix it.
I look at it this way. We all have to pick up our cross and carry our cross. We all have to carry it to the hill and die to ourselves. Yes. At some point, you're going to have to look yourself in the mirror and like, I die to myself. Like, God, my body, my spirit, my will is yours. My heart is yours. If I'm trying to do that for you, I'm pretty sure that God is going to correct you. How can I say this? You come to me with a problem with your marriage, and I'm carrying your cross now. And for the next 2 years, I'm mentoring you. I'm mentoring people. I'm coaching people. Look at me. I'm counseling people. First of all, why are you going around saying that? Second of all, after 2 years, you're still dealing with the same problem. There has been no movement. Jesus can move a lot faster than that. Because I'm carrying your cross, and God wants to glorify himself through you.
Yeah.
With your cross. And I'm trying to get him to glorify me through your cross that I'm carrying. I'm pretty sure God's like, I'm going to handle you, Mr. Prideful Counselor. Give it back to him so I can give myself the glory through CJ's life and the story and the testimony.
Yeah.
And now you have an impact for the kingdom. I think that's an area where people who are in counseling, therapists, pastors, whatever, can get bogged down.
It's subtle.
So subtle.
It's so subtle. It's like, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to help people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a pastor. I'm a shepherd. I'm a friend. Like, I'm supposed to help these people. But we have the same talk all the time about, well, you're enabling at this point.
You're an enabler.
You're an enabler.
I'm supposed to be teaching you how to be a disciple and meet Jesus and then experience his healing so that you can go and do the same thing for people in your life.
Yeah.
So much. It takes the pressure off.
Heck yeah.
Like, it takes the pressure off. Like, oh, I can't actually fix you or heal you. All I can do is give you a safe place to process. I can give you back some spirit-filled truths, some scripture, some advice. But Matthew 7, cast your pearls before swine. Eventually, I'm going to decide. It's going to be clear to me. Are you taking the advice or aren't you? Yeah. Well, if you're not, what do they do with it? They trample on it. It's so simple, dude.
Yeah.
If I say to you, like, hey, dude, like, maybe you shouldn't go to the bar anymore. You're telling me every week you have a drinking problem, but you go to the bar every Friday after work. Maybe you should stop that. 3 months later, you're still coming in on Saturday for counseling and crying at your marriage is in mess and you're at the bar and all that. You're not listening to what I'm saying. So I'll tell you one more time, and then we won't be meeting the next time because you're trampling on the truth. Yeah. And what happens next? They're going to turn on you and attack you. It happens every time.
Yeah.
Well, they don't talk to me anymore because X, Y, Z. No. I'm releasing you to carry your cross because God wants to glorify himself through you, and you're going to get all the freedom you need.
Hmm.
It's a beautiful thing. People have done it to me. It works. Yeah.
So how long was that process from, all right, God has now called you, pulled you in, no turning back, and you have now begun to get a point of healing, restoration in your life. And how old are you now?
Just turned 39.
All right. So 17, when I say called, I'm not saying like called to ministry.
Okay.
I mean like called out of life of sin, called out of life of it's all about Jordan to
Gotcha.
A life with a relationship with God. That's what I mean by when God has now called you and he's now saving
okay,
you.
Okay. Gotcha.
Right. The scripture talks about being elect in that sense where God is now grabbing you and going,
okay. All right. That boot camp was the first time that when God touched me in my confession of my sin, where I actually felt his presence of like, I take that. I want to heal that.
Yeah.
Now the journey really began. Actually, that was when it really started getting tough. Like up to that point, it was just like frustration, selfishness, anger, self-hatred, you know, negative self-talk. once you start digging into the root of those things, like, oh man, that hurts. Like for me, it did anyway. And it was, I'm still healing in my relationship with the Lord. I don't know if I ever, will you ever really get, like, we're on earth. This is a cursed earth right now until it's restored. I don't think you ever get to a place where it's like,
get perfect.
I am the perfect son and I walk with the Lord. Like, you're always growing in right. Him.
Right.
I think it's more of, we don't understand grace. Hmm. It's all grace. Like, this podcast is all grace. Like, I just knew that he was okay with me telling him the truth and not lying anymore.
Yeah.
Because we're faking it to the world.
Yeah.
We're lying to ourselves in front of the world. That's why you get close to people and you're like, eh, really like what I see. Or some people you get close to them is like, ooh, man, there's some good fruit there. Like, man, there's something different about those people. That's real.
Yeah.
I want to get my kids around those people. I want those people at my dinner table, you know, versus you get real close and it's like, eh.
Was there a point like after that happened, like you started seeing God put people in your life to help in that process?
Quickly.
Yeah.
Quickly. Because when you get around an environment like that, an environment like that is not like going to church. Mm-hmm. You go to church, you get a mix of everything. You get the pew warmers, the people that threw the towel in, the people that were hurt by their last pastor sitting in the back, the guys that are on fire. Like, you get everybody in there, and it's good. Like, it's good. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Like, I've been all of those.
Right.
When you get in an environment like that, it's just the people that are like, I'm desperate for Jesus to fix me and heal me. I'm ready.
Yeah.
And when you get around that hunger and you're surrounded by hungry people, you just get your belief in what God can do.
You're getting meat.
You're getting meat. And now they're sharing their testimonies
yeah.
about their struggles. And you're like, well, if God did it for them, he could certainly do it for me. And now you start seeing the power of the testimony.
Yeah.
And now you start, oh, this is what freedom starts to feel like. I'm on the journey to real freedom in Christ. Yeah. And you start forgetting about the 2020 election. You stop buying into the crap that the world's throwing at. But you get around people that are focused on the heart of Jesus.
With that, like being said, I mean, you had a point of like those 8 to 7, 8, 9 years of just God's been working in your life, guiding you in ways, mm-hmm. starting to mold you into the person that he really wants you to be. What are some things that have helped you on that path to remain in a relationship with God, in that having your focus on him? Like, what are some things you did that allowed you to keep your focus there and not stray off?
I think for me, it was the first time I understood the getting in the presence of the Lord. Because once you get that and you understand that, now you're like, oh, I can get in the presence of the Lord and he can start revealing to me through yeah. a scripture where he wants to work in my life. And you read scripture, you're just like, okay, God, I give you access. Give you access to this area, to this stuff. And I just made my circle real small. Like, I did big circle, lots of people.
Yeah.
Lots of good people. I didn't hang out with, like, I hang out with some rough people. But it was a good mix of people. Good yeah. people. Just people that had eaten from the apple. And once you get a taste of the truth, you're like, ooh, I need to like really get focused on my relationship with the Lord. So I just started making space, getting real small. Me, the Lord, let's dig into this, God. And if this takes a few years, it'll be worth it. I'd rather go through a few years of pain now at 35 than be dealing with this at 60
yeah.
or dealing with it at 70. So whatever happens now, I'm okay with it if I get closer to you. And surrounding myself with one, allowing Lindsay to just speak into me, that helped.
Yeah.
It helps when your spouse is on the same page.
Sure.
Cause that can be a battle.
Yeah.
Mentorship, surrounding yourself with the right mentorship, for the season of life that you're in. And then surrounding yourself with people that are hungry and then finding people that you can help. I've grown more in helping other people than just sitting and sulking in my own stuff.
There's so much truth to that.
And not in the way that people would think.
No, because like I always thought about it in like high school, an example, mm-hmm. was if I wanted to learn a subject, I taught it.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I, like, for me to teach something, I had to go through the nitty gritty of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why does this work out the way it does? So that I could teach it.
Yeah.
And you learn the ins and outs of it. So to your point where it's like, all right, I wanted to go help somebody through this now.
Yeah.
Because no, I'm not all the way through it myself. But now to answer your questions, I have to then reflect. Like, wait, how did God move in my life?
Yeah.
Why did he move? Where? What happened? Like, what were the causes? What were the root causes of this? Where did that happen? And it just makes you for a second go, okay, here's where I'm at.
Well, we were just talking about it before we got here. You were saying that don't be so hard on yourself. Like, I'm very self-aware and not to self-sabotage, but I'm just very self-aware of my heart posture.
Yeah.
Like, I never want, we just talked about the last podcast, could have come off a little condemning. That wasn't my heart. And just being aware of when you're helping people, usually for me, what ended up happening was you see people that are looking up to you and it makes you step up. Yeah. Okay. So if I'm going through, maybe I'm going through, what's a struggle then? Maybe we have marriage stuff. And I'm helping you with your marriage. So you're like, hey, I got major marriage stuff here. Here's what we're going on. God's going to help me in my marriage because I'm going to hear things for you and it's going to be a lens into my life that I might be blind to. And now I'm like, ooh, I haven't taken my wife on a date in a long time. And here I am telling you to do that.
Yeah.
Alert, alert, alert. Hypocrite. actually, I haven't done that. So helping other people, like, you just kind of help each other and you both grow together. Yeah. Like, isn't that what God wants? He wants us all to grow together.
Building up together.
There's nothing worse than sitting down with someone who just like, let me teach you everything. You be completely vulnerable with me, CJ, but I'm not going to be vulnerable with you at all. Like, what? That's manipulation. Wait, what? What is going on here? So yeah, helping people, spending time and finding that secret place. Man, when you start hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, like, he can move immediately. Like, you don't have to go sit down in a quiet space to hear him. Like, you can literally be driving down the road and he can talk to you. Like, it's a person, just like Jesus. It took me a long time to learn to hear the voice of the Lord.
Yeah.
And I still sometimes I'm like, is that the Lord? Is that me? Is that the Lord? Is that me? Like, I still go back and forth. Like, is that my mind or my heart? My mind or my heart? Like, I'm always trying to walk in that obedience. It's hard when you're in it. But when you look back, when you're past that season, you're like, okay.
That one was God. That one wasn't.
That one was God. That one wasn't. But he promises that he'll use the one that wasn't for good because I love him. So it wasn't wasted.
Yep.
Sorry, but it wasn't wasted.
Yeah.
So,
we got a picture of, you know, who Jordan was to begin with, right? Mm-hmm. You're a man who was brought up in the faith.
Yep.
Your family's praying for you, leading you in the way, gave you just this foundation of what God is, who God is. And then, the typical, like, man, got out on my own. Didn't forget God, but it got put to the wayside.
Yep.
And from that point on, it's just like God has been sitting there ever since. Slowly pulling you back in.
Yeah.
Letting things happen that challenged you, allowing you to go through struggles.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point he finally said, all right, watch this. Got you in the right places at the right times.
Yeah.
Pulled you to boot camp and he grabbed hold of you and he hasn't letting go.
It's like he knew.
He knew exactly what you needed and has been pulling you ever since and guiding you on that way. And now at that point I see from what you're saying is you made your stake in the claim going, this is where I want to be.
That actually didn't happen until recently.
Okay.
I didn't put a stake in the ground in the last 5 years. I just had enough guts to be like, Lord, I'll do this.
Okay.
And I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I didn't really put that stake in the ground until really recently.
Okay.
And that's when that question came up the other night. You put your stake in the ground.
Yeah.
You chose this life, discipleship. What happens if in 15 years they come around and start persecuting Christians in America? Mm. It could happen.
Yeah.
Quite honestly.
It could happen quickly.
It could happen a lot quicker. Would I be able to do it? Yeah. Put your stake in the ground. You know what that means. You choose me over your wife,
yeah.
over your daughters, over your son, over your friends.
And you encourage them to do the same.
Yeah. So it's a real thing. Absolutely. But I was reading this last night. So it was actually early this morning. And this scripture has always kind of been my, like, maybe a go-to of just, like, when things get tougher, when things are good. John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me, abide in me, abide in me. For some reason last night, it stuck out to me differently. And I'm just going to read the first couple. I'm just going to read maybe like the first couple verses here. And then we can go wherever you want to go from there. John 15. I'm Jesus, the living vine. I am the true sprouting vine. And the farmer who tends to the vine is my Father. He cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and propping up the fruitless branches. So if we're not bearing fruit, Galatians 5:23, in our life, because people are watching, they're looking for that fruit.
Yeah.
If we're not bearing fruit, God actually lifts us up because we're connected to him. So he's going to lift us up and prune us so we can bear fruit. So it may not look like we're bearing fruit right now, but he's like, no, stay connected to me. Whatever that looks like. Oh, you're running away from me, but you're still connected a little bit. I'm going to get you.
Pruning doesn't sound like it feels good either.
Pruning means cleansing. No, it can be painful. And we can confuse that for warfare.
Yeah.
Oh, the enemy's coming against me. Or, next verse, lifting and propping up the fruitless branches and pruning every fruitful branch to yield greater harvest. So I think we get confused here. And I did this for years. Well, this is just warfare. The enemy's trying to attack me in this area and this thing and yada, yada, yada. It can happen, but you've got to have good discernment. Get around people with good discernment and start understanding it. What if God, this tough thing you're going through, this suffering for Christ, carrying your own cross, is actually God pruning you, cleansing you, because he wants that fruitful branch to yield an even greater harvest? That's a totally different way of approaching your life. This just happened this morning, by the way. I don't know why this stuck out to me this time. Like, oh, it's actually not warfare. I'm actually pruning and preparing my people. I sent that to a couple guys this morning because I'm like, this is for them too. It's for you. It's for anybody who right now is struggling. A lot of people are struggling. They saw some breakthrough and then it got hard. And they're like, oh man, the devil. I would bet that 9 out of 10 chances right now, that's actually not warfare. I think God's just pruning his church and his disciples, the ones that have put their stake in the ground. Luke 14, I choose the life of discipleship and following Jesus. It tells you what that looks like. Now he's going to start working on you and pruning you. So for the last 5 years, there was some warfare. I gave way too much attention to that. It actually wasn't warfare. It was actually pruning. He's like, you've been connected to me your whole life. And now you've actually opened your heart. And now you're saying, Jesus, I invite you in to start cleansing me, pruning, give you permission. That's not the devil. That's God.
Yeah.
Taking that branch that is starting to bear fruit, raising it up so it bears fruit. And then when it starts bearing fruit, now he starts pruning it even more. So these tough seasons that people are going through right now, the tough season in your marriage, if you have Christ in your mind and in your heart, and in the conversation with your wife, your kids, your boss, your employees, whatever, it's probably pruning and not warfare.
I'm glad you make that distinction because there's a lot of times too where, like, balancing that out, you go, wait, my marriage is hard right now and I don't know why.
Right.
Like, I feel like we've been doing everything right. Or, no, and then I'll take that back. I feel like if I look back on myself, like, I'm just a problem.
Yeah.
You can see, like, right, your marriage is struggling right now is because you're selfish.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, your marriage is struggling right now because you're being attacked. But in your case, as you're saying there, it's like, no, like, your marriage isn't necessarily struggling right now. It's being put through the fire.
Right.
It's being refined.
Yeah.
And since your focus, your talking, your discussions are on God, what's going on here? God's using that. And since he is the focus of your marriage, he is now molding that into what. And I tell you, if, you know, it talks about God being the potter and we are the clay. I got news for you. If you're being mushed into something beautiful, it's not going to feel pretty.
No.
But you're being taken from what you once were, you know, dust, ash, mm-hmm. just a vessel, and being created into something that God can use.
Yeah.
It's going to take fire. It's going to take power. It's going to take pressure.
Mm-hmm.
All those things, you know, first thing that popped in my head is diamonds, of course, but
yeah.
I don't want to sound cheesy. A little bit of pressure, you turn into a diamond. No.
Well, how do you make olive oil?
Yeah. You gotta crush it.
So there's
gotta crush it.
Power in the pressing.
Right.
And it's all to develop your character. Like, you don't want... I've seen more people in the last 5 years that were given a little bit of success or breakthrough, and then it was taken away from them.
Hmm.
And I'm like, that's interesting. Oh, you didn't have the character to handle the anointing. It wasn't taken away from you as in a, like, God's like, I'll have that back. It's like, no, you're not ready.
Yeah.
I gave you a little piece. You're not ready. Because it will destroy you if I give you that. Your character is not ready for it yet. Hmm. And I think for me, I still don't even think, for me, if I look back over the last 5 years of my life, it is a majority of it has been pruning, God cleansing, the enemy trying to stop some things, and just a whole lot of grace. Like a lot of grace.
Yeah.
And so, for example, like, the enemy versus pruning. Let's say marriage. So let's say at the beginning of these 5 years, Lindsay and I were like, I had to, like we talked about, I had to get back in my rightful spot as head of this home. You cross a little bit of a rough season, you come through. So in that rough season, that's God pruning and cleansing. Hey, you want to be the head, so we got to go through, back through these fights you've had, back through the disagreements. And so those arguments were cleansing and pruning. Where's the warfare in that? Well, that's when I walk away and I'm like, man, she's such a beep, beep, beep. Or, you know what? She hates me. I hate her. Like, this marriage is blah. I want to get a divorce. That's the devil. That's warfare. But what's happening is God's pruning and cleansing so you can bear fruit. But we give access to the devil to come into that journey and mess with us.
Right.
And once that divorce word comes up, like, we haven't said that word in, my God, 15 years. But I remember we used to throw that around. Like, oh, man, even now to just, like, think about it, it's like once the devil gets you saying something, like, now you get that stronghold going. And that's kind of like the deceptive part.
It's amazing, too, in, like, the sense of as you're going through those pruning processes, the one of the best things, I'm not going to say it's the best, but one of the best things I think you could do is lose that sense of pride.
Yeah.
Stay humble and utilize, you know, God's character. What he says is the, you know, the fruits of the spirit.
Yeah.
In those situations, because there's gonna be a lot of times as you're making that transition, as you're saying, is where you're going to be faced with this.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to step up and be the aggressive man that wants to just force his way around and say, this is what's going to happen, it's going to get ugly.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're able to bow down and go, okay, this is where I'm supposed to be, but I'm not going to be able to get there by bullheading my way through the situation. There's some forgiveness that has to happen.
Yeah.
There's some repenting. There's some just asking for forgiveness that has to happen. And when you can have that humility, lose the pride, that process is going to be a little bit easier.
Yeah.
But losing pride's hard.
It is. And the devil just gets more subtle with it. Yeah. So it's like, you know, pride is easy in the beginning when it's big.
Yeah.
It's what happens when you understand it, recognize it. Now it starts getting more subtle. That's where I learned about bearing other people's crosses. You can actually get prideful in that. Well, I'm counseling 7 people.
Yeah.
So are any of them getting set free? Do any of them have any fruit in their life? No. Maybe you don't want to be talking about how you're counseling people. Maybe you shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Versus, like, if you're really discipling people and helping people grow, you don't have to explain it. They're bearing fruit. Like, they're just bearing fruit. You don't have to go around telling people, look at them, look at what they're doing.
Yeah.
You just look for the next opportunity.
My goal would never be to be like, hey, I'm counseling people.
No.
I got 5 people under me. No.
No, that's how you open yourself up for a lot of headaches.
I don't even talk about it.
No.
So, in closing,
mm-hmm.
what is your favorite scripture to lean on?
Oh, boy.
Is there one?
Not really. You know, I've got a lot of... Not really. It's just interesting how for me, God has a way of putting the scriptures in front of me that I need for that day or that season. Like, I couldn't, like, right now it's Psalm 27 and John 15, and Luke 14. Those are the three chapters that I'm kind of like, just, they're highlighted for me right now. There's that John 15. I've been reading that for 5 years. And for some reason last night, it really just had a whole nother level.
Yeah.
So yeah, Romans 8:28 is a good one for if you think you've wasted time. God will use all things to good for those that love him. Because we all make mistakes. I make mistakes.
Yeah.
Make mistakes regularly. It's not an agreement. We're just human in the flesh. But turning to God, repenting, and praying for grace over that situation and whatever else you feel is your discerning needs prayer over, like, God will take that and use it for good.
Yeah.
It's how he does it.
Yeah.
So that one has helped me a lot. And then Psalm 12:5, which the Lord will surround those with favor like a shield. When you're going through a season of testing that favor, you're like, all right, Lord, I believe you. But it all comes, if you don't believe the scripture that you're reading, forget it.
Right.
It has no power. That's in Luke 14 or John 14 or whatever. It talks about, let the word be in you powerfully and then ask me anything in my name and I'll do it. So if the word is in me, meaning like, I really believe that the Lord surrounds those with favor like a shield. I really believe that you will use things to good for those that love you. So I just made a mistake. I just made a mistake with my children, with my wife, with my business, with my ministry, with the podcast, whatever. That's how I can move past the conversation we had here at the beginning about the past episodes. Okay, I need to grow and get better. And Lord, but you will still use that in some way, shape, or form. That means he may use it for some bad PR, but it might grow in downloads. Like, you never know how he's going to do it. But if you believe that, I don't care how you do it, God, as long as you use it for good.
Yeah.
So.
Cool.
Yeah, man.
Thanks for sharing.
Yes. So that's it for this week's episode. So I guess what we really would like is for people to subscribe, give us a 5-star review on the platform you're listening to. Share this with somebody and open up the conversation in your home with your children, with your wife. Just get the conversation going of like, hey, we haven't been to church in a while. Maybe we should go.
Yeah.
And that's anybody, children, moms, dads, like, get the conversation going again. I promise you, there will come a point where you will look back and you will be like, wow, Jesus really does promise and do everything that the Bible says he will do. He really does it. And you've got the guts to do it. You've got the power to do it. If you have the Holy Spirit, he's doing it. Just yield.
And if you are somebody who does go to church, but then again, it's just a check mark off the list for a Sunday, challenge you to stake your claim.
Yeah.
Go, all right, there's more to this than what I see and what I know. I'm going to dig a little deeper.
Yeah.
And meet God.
Yeah. If you've been sitting at the back of your church and you have your regular seat, move to the front this week. It's a totally different atmosphere in the front three rows than it is in the back three. Meet with your pastor. Get involved in the small groups. You have to get around the right community or you will spend another year worrying about the thing you're worrying about right now.
Yeah.
Right now, someone's going to be listening to this. They're going to be laying in bed, worrying about their bills, their marriage, their kids, what they're going to do tomorrow. Trust me. No, don't trust me. Trust God. He's got it all worked out. Lean
sure
in.
Thing.
That it?
That's it.
All right, buddy. Well, I will catch you next week. Thank you, everybody.